During my 20 years as a youth pastor, I played a lot of games. A lot of games. Now, not only are they fun, but they're a great way to get teens talking and thinking and interacting with each other. And one such game is called Would You Rather? In this game, participants are presented with two options and must choose one over the others. Now, sometimes it might be two really good things, such as, would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility? Or would you rather vacation in Aspen or Maui? The more fun ones, though, are the bad ones. Would you rather drink a gallon of mayonnaise or a gallon of ketchup? Or would you rather have a huge booger hanging out of your nose for the rest of your life, or a huge pimple right on the middle of your nose the rest of your life? Now, the game is fun because we're forced to struggle with two things that might seem to be equally good or equally bad. But what if I asked you, would you rather have $1 million tax-free or get your hand slammed in a car door? Anybody here taking the door? I didn't think so. Of course not, because with that option, the choice is obvious. Well, in his letter to the Romans, Paul is presenting his readers with a similarly obvious choice. Would you rather have life or death? Justification or condemnation? In our reading today from chapter 5, Paul presents two options for our spiritual life. We are either in Adam or we are in Christ. And this is an either-or proposition. For Paul, there is no third option. There's no middle ground. So this morning, I'd like to take a look at these two options and look at why they are good news for us today. Well, Paul introduces his argument in verse 12 by saying, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. Paul begins here by pointing out the reality of our condition. We are not inherently good people who somehow become sinners when we make mistakes or bad choices. We're actually born sinful. It's part of our fallen nature that's been inherited from Adam and Eve, our first parents. Like being German or Italian, it's simply part of who we are. Because our sinful nature is not something that we somehow cause ourselves, it's also not something that we can overcome on our own efforts, no matter how hard we try. This condition is universal to all human beings, whether we know it or not. The law, after all, doesn't make us sinners. It simply shows us the extent of our sinfulness. And of course, Paul is clear that the consequence of sin is ultimately death. Now, lest you be dismayed by this tragic lot, Paul thankfully puts forth a second option. Starting in verse 15, he says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Now, although Adam's disobedience brought death to all who would come after him, Jesus brings life to all who will receive him by faith. The bad news is that our default nature is in Adam. This is the starting point for every human being. But while Adam's sin brings with it judgment and condemnation, the free gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ brings us justification. Now, these are concepts that we probably have to unpack a little bit. Paul's using legal terminology here. The terms condemnation and justification in ancient Roman culture referred to a person's legal status. Now, when a person was condemned, it meant that the evidence had been weighed against him or her, and it had been determined that the individual was guilty of wrongdoing and had to be punished. Since ancient Rome really didn't have what we would think of as a modern penal system, the condemned person would typically be executed in a timely fashion. Now, on the other hand, a person was justified when he or she had been acquitted of all charges of wrongdoing, and the result for that person was life and freedom. A justified person did not need to suffer the same consequences as a condemned person. It's important to understand, however, that these are legal and not moral statuses. A dishonest judge could certainly justify his misbehaving friend or condemn an innocent enemy. Now, this is important to understand for Paul's analogy because he's not talking about how we have behaved or about our own moral righteousness, but rather he's talking about the condition in which we find ourselves when standing before God. As sons and daughters of Adam, we all stand condemned before we even take our first breath. It's not the result of anything that we've done, but rather it's the consequence of what Adam did so long ago. In this regard, then, our evil behavior and our poor choices are not the cause of our sinfulness, but rather they are the result of our sinful nature. Because we are already condemned, we live and behave as condemned men and women. There seems to be something inherently unfair about all of this. Why should we be punished for something that isn't our fault? I shouldn't have to go to jail because my great-grandfather stole a loaf of bread. Thankfully, our justification is just as unfair as our condemnation. Between verses 15 and 17, Paul uses the phrase free gift or charisma in the Greek 5 times. Our justification, our acquittal from the consequences of original sin, comes not from anything that we could ever do, but rather it is a free gift that God offers to us. It's based not on our own inherent righteousness, because we know we don't have any of that, but rather it's based on the righteousness of Christ alone. Well, starting in verse 17, Paul says, "For if, because of one man's trespass," talking about Adam, "death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." Even though our sinful nature and the resulting estrangement from God is a condition universal to all, God in His goodness has provided a solution to the problem, an antidote to original sin, as it were. And that solution is Jesus Christ. Through His death and resurrection, God offers to us a way to reverse the consequences of Adam's sin. In verse 19, we're told, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." It is unfair on both ends, but grace is always unfair. So sinfulness and righteousness are not things that we become on our own based on what we do or how we behave. We are made sinners, heirs of Adam's fall by virtue of our human birth, but we are made righteous through Jesus Christ. Neither one is the result of our individual effort, but both options have eternal consequences for our individual souls. The question we must ask ourselves is, what condition am I in? Am I in Adam and under the condemnation of sin, or am I in Christ Jesus and under the justification of his righteousness? My friends, those are the only two options. Thankfully, the gospel is good news for those who are in Adam and for those who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the good news for you is that your status is secure. Let me say that again. Your status is secure. I'm amazed by how many people can spend a lifetime in the church hearing sermons and singing hymns and reading the Bible and yet never understand these words. Your status is secure. As Americans, it's been so deeply ingrained into us that we must work hard in order to earn what we have. Unfortunately, this attitude often leaves us feeling like we are constantly falling short. Even in the church, it can feel like this pressure is insatiable. There's never enough growth in the church. There are never enough baptisms happening. There are never enough programs taking place. I've sometimes joked to people that the priesthood is a wonderful vocation if you want to feel like you are constantly failing. And so it probably shouldn't surprise me that when people approach the end of their lives, there's often within them this great anxiety over whether they have done enough, whether they have lived a life that is worthy of salvation. But the Christian faith is not like the Boy Scouts. Our salvation is not dependent on how many merit badges we have earned, or how many meetings we've attended, or how successful our service project was. Imagine walking into your first Boy Scout meeting ever, and a young man approaches you and introduces himself as the son of the Scoutmaster. He tells you that he has fulfilled all of the requirements to be an Eagle Scout, and he is willing to share that status with you. You readily accept, and in an instant, you too are an Eagle Scout. Not because of anything that you've done, but because of what the Scoutmaster's son has done. And even if you can't tie all the knots or start a campfire using a stick or pitch a tent, that status can't be taken away from you because you didn't do anything to earn it in the first place. My friends, we are justified before God not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf. And that status can never be taken away from us. If you are in Christ, take comfort in that great security. If you are in Adam, there is good news for you as well. Although you currently stand condemned before God, you don't have to stay there. The Holy Spirit has drawn you here today because he has another option for your life. Now you may be thinking, I'm too far gone. If you only knew what I have done, the mistakes I've made, the evils I have committed, you would know that there is no way that God will ever accept me. My friends, there is no such thing as a sinner so bad that God cannot redeem him or her. And so Jesus offers you a new status today. There are no prerequisites to justification. We don't have to be perfect in order to receive God's grace. Instead, it is through his grace that we are then made perfect in his eyes. I heard a story once about a young man who had spent much of his childhood in and out of juvenile detention facilities. And through the work of a local pastor, he came to faith in Jesus Christ, and he asked to be baptized. When the pastor asked him why he wanted to be baptized, this 15-year-old kid replied, "Because the old man needs to die." My friends, if you are still in Adam, if you are still under the condemnation of Adam's sin, the old man in you needs to die. Only Jesus Christ offers us life, not just in the here and now, but for eternity. Let the old man die and receive the status that has been given to you by your heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, and then live into that new life of faith. Now, during communion this morning, we will have prayer teams right outside this door. If you are still in Adam, I want to challenge you to go out there and have them pray with you that you might put off the old man in favor of the new. We live today in a world of seemingly endless options. But when it comes to our spiritual life, there are only two options from which to choose. We can be in Adam, or we can be in Christ. Do you stand today before God condemned, or do you stand before him justified? If you are in Christ, rejoice in your status as sons and daughters of God. Stop trying to earn God's favor and simply rest in the security of your salvation. If you are still in Adam, make this the day that the old man dies. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and accept the gift of grace he offers us through the cross and empty tomb. In our other two lessons this morning, we see Satan tempt both Adam and Jesus. In Genesis, Satan has victory over Adam and sin enters the world. But in our reading from Matthew, the victory belongs to Jesus, and Satan is at last conquered. Jesus offers that victory to all of us who come to him in faith. And his triumph is our triumph. During this season of Lent, we will be reminded of our sin and of our need for redemption. We will focus on Jesus' suffering and death. But remember that the cross and death on Good Friday always lead to the empty tomb and resurrection on Easter Sunday. That is the victory we are all invited to share in. Thanks be to God. Amen.